Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, Mindy Patterson, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. I said two 10s and two 12s, and you thought we were headed to Vegas to roll the dice, Mindy, or what?
Those are my lucky numbers.
10 and 12 is your lucky numbers?
No, actually they're not. Seven is my lucky number.
Well, we can't get we can't get a seven in the mix and and come up with any kind of good luck in Vegas. Seven, two 10s, and a 12, it really doesn't get you anything.
That's okay. We'll go with what we've got.
Kelly wants to go to Las Vegas.
Really? I'm not a huge fan of Vegas myself.
Yeah, thanks, Mindy. That's where we met.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't remember?
You and I met there. I'm sorry. I didn't meet you and Kelly.
No, that's where
I met. You and I did meet in Vegas, didn't we?
We did.
Many years ago.
And Kelly wants to go to Vegas. It has nothing to do with the Pharaoh table. Mm-hmm. And has everything to do with the king grabbing a microphone and a guitar and singing.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of good shows there.
No, George Strait has announced he's going to do one special event in Vegas.
Awesome.
Yeah. Is that why we wanted to have you on Rural Route today to talk about George Strait singing in Vegas?
No.
No.
I'm just waiting for your segue into the main point.
And you're not waiting so patiently. I'm trying to drag it out, and you're just sitting there tapping your foot. Trent, let's talk about dogs. If you joined us yesterday, that would be me and Dan Christensen, you were enlightened as some of the atrocities that are being committed against animal owners around this country. In fact, I learned something after the show that I will address at a future date, which needs addressing. But as we were doing that, I thought, as we just tipped the iceberg of what's going on with Purdue University, talking about establishing dog handling standards, we should follow up on that. And it just so happens that I know someone who has studied and has worked day and night with the dog breeders of the United States to make sure that their rights are not squandered away at a faro table or not. Mindy Patterson, Wildwood, Missouri, president of the Calvary Group. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Is that the segue you were waiting for?
That was it. I'm ready to roll. And actually, you and I talked about the Purdue study about a year ago this time, too, which we covered pretty in-depth, and things have progressed since then.
Was that a full year ago already?
That was a full year ago, right after the announcement that Ed Sayers took his position at the head of the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council.
Mm-hmm. And remind us who Ed Sayers is.
Ed Sayers is an animal rights activist who is a self-proclaimed animal rights activist for over 40 years and was the head of the ASPCA for 15 years. And he spearheaded the organization of NYCLASS, which is the New York Council for Clean and Safe Streets. That is the animal rights organization that was formed to raise funds to put Mayor de Blasio in office and also destroy the New York horse carriage industry. Mm-hmm. So this is the man that has been sitting in charge of the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council.
Can I add that maybe they underestimated the resilience of the carriage owners and operators in New York City because they're no closer to getting that done than they were when they started?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yep, it's been pretty much tabled and it has no support with the council in New York City.
So, 1 year ago, you brought to light that Purdue University and Dr. Candace Crony was heading up a study to establish a set of standards so that dog breeders knew how to properly take care of their dogs. Now, in full disclosure, we called Candace that day. She actually did join us on the spur of the moment. I contacted her this week. She has a medical issue. She did say she would join us at a future date. So, what have you learned in the past year or more recently in the past few months?
Well, just to give a quick brief overview, the reason that the Purdue study is coming forth is because some in the pet industry, and I'll get to that in a minute as to who, but some believe that commercial breeding of dogs, the industry is facing significant scrutiny and criticism despite this consistent public demand for purebred dogs. And so they've decided that in order to counter this scrutiny and criticism, that they need to come up with a study to justify the dog breeder's existence, basically. Mm-hmm. And Dan Christensen's first response to you yesterday on your show when you brought up the Purdue study was, who's behind it? Who are these people that are going to tell me how to raise dogs? And that is the key question. So behind the Purdue study is, Purdue University, of course. The main funders are the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council, which is PJAC, the Pet Food Institute, the World Pet Association, and interestingly enough, which was not in the mix a year ago, the science fellows at USDA and APHIS. Now, we were told a year ago that no, this isn't going to involve USDA. This is just an independent study to show the world that we're making best efforts to have best practices for the dog breeding industry so that we can counteract all the scrutiny. Well, I'm here to tell you and your listeners, and I don't need to tell you, but share with your listeners that we don't have a PR problem in the pet industry or the commercial dog breeding industry. We don't have a PR problem. We have an activist problem. Mm-hmm. And the problem with our side is that we continue to bend to the will of the activists. And that's really what this is all about. And it's a sneaky way to do so. And behind this Purdue study are three other people behind it, other than the organizations I just mentioned, and they are, and I'll be able to hear you cringe through the phone, Temple Grandin, a gentleman by the name of Bernie Rowland, who is an academic and a professor at the Department of Philosophy at the University of Colorado, and also James Serpell, who is a doctorate at Penn State. And as we sort of drill down to their ideology, we realize that they are no friend to animal breeding of any kind. In fact, James Serpell went on record to say that purebred dog breeding, since he's an associate professor of humane ethics and animal welfare at the University of Pennsylvania, he's gone on record to say that purebred dog breeding is institutionalized animal cruelty. And they, along with the individuals who continue to buy purebred companion animals instead of adopting from animal shelters, are at fault for the animal overpopulation crisis and the deaths of millions of homeless animals each year. So that's one person behind this study who's driving the boat. Isn't that great?
Yeah, fantastic. I do want to correct you. Bernie Rowland is at Colorado State, not the University of Colorado.
Oh, he's at Colorado State? I'm sorry.
He's down the hall from my least favorite science professor. No, she's not a science professor. She's a national poll taker, Temple Grandin.
Yes.
That doesn't detract from the wait a minute. This University of Pennsylvania is where the vet school is, so this feller that you just described has to be from the vet school. Is that a direct quote?
Yep, it is. I'm reading it to you from a PETA post from 2009.
Uh-huh.
And I will send this to you so you can post it. But it's from the Today Show. He went on record in saying that that purebred breeding is institutionalized animal cruelty.
I was at the very first animal rights convention that I went to was in Alexandria, Virginia. And there was presenters there talking about the day that they would be able to get criminal charges filed against people who bred purebred anything. Because if you had a set of cattle running wild, they wouldn't only breed within their own breed. Dogs would not breed within their own breed. So it should be a sign of animal cruelty to breed any animal purebred in the purebred species, And now here you're telling me, 15 years later, we've got a person and what's recognized he's considered to be. He's on the Today Show. They put whack jobs on the Today Show like this? No, I'm saying this is eroding right in front of us, Mindy Patterson. I'm also saying that our first 10-minute segment is up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Calvary Group bringing us a red flag and all of the awareness on the erosion of personal property rights in the U.S. right under our nose. More after this.
The time is now, my friends, to say thank you to those individuals, the troops, that continue to risk their lives to protect our freedom. There's a group of cattlemen from the Great Plains of America that found a way to say thank you. 250,000 individuals in the past 7 years have been given a handshake and supplied with a full meal deal, including a one-pound ribeye. The All-American Beef Battalion on the best crusade of our life. Make your contribution and help us, please, at steaksfortroops.com.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce alongside Mindy Patterson, joining us today from Wildwood, Missouri, just down the road from Ferguson, so that you know where she's at. That's how wild it gets there. The Calvary Group is the group bringing, like the modern-day Paul Revere, riding the streets, issuing the warnings. It's up to you to pay attention. Mindy, you threw so many things out there in the first segment, I don't even know where to start. First of all, I have never heard of, and I feel like I keep my nose somewhat to the grindstone, but you said the American Science Fellows and the USDA. Who the heck is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a link I can send you, but that is who is part of this study. They're working behind.
I never heard of the Science scheme. Fellows of the USDA. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Huh. All right.
I also must include that among all those groups, a group called the OIE, which is the World Organization for Animal Health, which is a global federation of animal care guidelines, is involved in this.
Under the UN,
as well.
I might add.
Yes, under the UN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they came to light. I don't know. They probably were in existence before bovine spongiform encephalopathy. But they gained their noted place in the world because of that global health crisis. That's when I first recognized them.
So we have a bunch of academics who are involved in the study, and I don't really see anyone involved who's ever bred dogs. And the other question I have for you, Trent Luce, is where's the welfare crisis? Do we have an animal welfare crisis in our country or in commercial dog breeding that really needs to be solved?
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Not at all. I don't think so. They're creating this crisis so that they can swoop in and create these new standards that, quite honestly, it's becoming more evident that USDA is going to hide behind and say, you know, we need to implement these new standards, especially given the fact that the Humane Society of the United States just put out a petition last week saying that we need stronger care standards for USDA licensees. Coincidence? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's also not a coincidence that in the past 7 years, the USDA has been infiltrated with HSUS people.
Exactly.
I don't think that's a new concept with Obama taking president, but it's certainly accelerated during that period of time.
Well, it's always stunning to me, though, that there are so many people out there that don't realize that. So when they say, you know, when they are surprised that their USDA inspector is doing things at their sole discretion to bend the rules to perhaps it would seem coerce them to give up their USDA license, you point out the fact that Sarah L. Conant is head of enforcement overseeing all the USDA inspectors. People still don't realize that that's the case. And she, for your listeners who don't know, she is ex-HSUS employee, an attorney for the Humane Society of the United States, and took her post with USDA as the director of enforcement in January of 2009.
Well, also, no coincidence that she started the ball rolling in your home state with Proposition B, And I think in many regards, Mindy, that began an entire movement of putting a negative slant and rules and regulations in dog breeders' way that they can't compete with to simply take them out of business.
Give up. Well, that's the model. You know, I mean, they've done the same thing to the egg industry that mm-hmm. they've done to the dog breeders in our state of Missouri. They've made it so onerous and so expensive to comply with these new regulations that people just decide to fold up their tent and their business and quit. And that, of course, is the end goal. And it's just, we've lost 75% of our licensees in dog breeding since 2010. 75%
in the state of Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Where did they go? They just quit?
They quit. So what are they doing to make a living? So that's the big question. You know, a lot of people have just either supplemented their income or they have had to completely do something different, which is very sad.
You said something else that I want to follow up on, and that was in your quote from the person who's now on the panel along with Purdue putting together these dog care standards.
James Serpell.
Mm-hmm. James Serpell. What is a dog's purpose on earth, if not reproduction?
Exactly. To reproduce, to better the breed, to, to perpetuate the species.
Every morning, when my cardiac system can handle it, I listen to a radio, national radio broadcast, mainly because I want to see what I need to correct for the rest of the day on the radio, if you follow my drift.
I do.
Yeah. NPR. Listen to NPR every morning when I can, doing chores so that I know what we... Did you happen to catch today's story twice?
Are you saying you listen to NPR?
I say I listen to NPR in the morning so that I know what I need to fix the rest of the day on the radio.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Today's story, a Louisiana couple clones their favorite Catahoula dog. And they think they determined it's not really a Catahoula, but they've cloned this dog twice. It cost $100,000 to clone the dog. They've done it twice. They're going to do it again because they got another grandkid. We could have an entire discussion about why you would do that, but that's the celebration that we're talking about here with the U.S., that you have the right to do that if you want to. But the person doing the interview could not resist the one question that plays into what we're talking about here today. With so many dogs available in shelters, why would you spend the money to clone this dog? That's a myth that has been perpetuated and that people believe.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the flip side to this whole interesting problem of this Purdue study, because while they're pushing this study on to increase standards on commercial dog breeders, the United States is importing dogs from other countries to the tune of 300,000 dogs a year.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. I said that on this show one day, and I had people come down on me like, you can't believe. They're saying, you're making that up, Trent. You can't prove that. Can you prove that, Mindy?
I can't. Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, the myth of pet overpopulation is over. I mean, there are statistics and articles every day, new information of dogs being imported from China, from Korea, Turkey, every day. So that's what, you know, and by the way, as another side note, while they're working to create these new standards for commercial dog breeders are getting it with double barrels because pet stores are now under the gun and being extorted by the Humane Society of the United States at the local level in municipalities all across the country that are passing legislation that tells pet stores that they have to source their merchandise, their puppies and kittens, from shelters and rescues instead of purebred dog breeders, commercial dog breeders.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're basically forcing the public to not have a choice of whether animals come from or a purebred dog. So you're basically getting a secondhand dog. Sorry, that's really what a rescue dog is. You don't know what you're getting. You're bringing that into your home and risking the safety and health of your family. And it is such a ruse. It's just so infuriating that the public seems to be so accepting of that. And it's just really interesting.
Do you have an idea why people are so willing, so gullible to believe that, Mindy? What's your gut feeling?
Well, I do think that we're behind in promoting the commercial breeding of dogs, mm-hmm. and the facts and true science behind, and praising these dog breeders that work really hard to bring these dogs into our lives. And I just think that we have, again, you know, if we have a PR problem at all, it's that we need to educate the public as to what the truth is, instead of allowing the Humane Society of the United States, that has this well-funded smear campaign known as a puppy mill, to drive these great people out of business. You know, none of us are for substandard breeders or for the unscrupulous, but that's not who they're going after. They're going after the licensed, regulated breeders. And 5 years ago when we fought Prop B, USDA licensees were the gold standard. They thought, fed by all the animal rights. You need to...
Yeah, way bad. Roll route. Mandy Patterson, the Calvary Group. She's wound for sound now, folks. Come back after this.
We talk a lot about animal health. When it comes to animal health, even in the pet food world, the horse world, the pig, chicken, cow, whatever your chosen species of sheep might be, it's Alltech that is working on developing the best nutritional products to feed the immune system. When you feed the immune system, you feed the genes, everything else takes place as it should. Reproduction and stress-free living. That's what good nutrition is all about. Alltech does it. Naturally, on the web, alltech.com.
Welcome back to Rural Route. I'm Trent Luce, Mandy Patterson, the Calvary Group. We've kind of strayed down some paths. We pulled a Yogi Berra. When you come to the fork of the road, take it. I've been using Yogiisms all week.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. My favorite one, and I've been using it on my daughters all week. And I, by the way, had not thought about a yogiism for probably 20 years, Mindy. And then I'll get a little trivia question for you. Where was Yogi Berra born?
I have no idea.
Ah, you're going to say, I should have known that. St. Louis.
Ah, I should have known that.
So the one I've been using on my girls all week is... It's really hard to have a conversation when the talking's happening.
I know.
You got to wait till the talking stops to have a conversation. All right. So here's the deal. Let's get back to what we're talking about. We're talking about Purdue University and somebody deciding. It's no different than McDonald's coming out saying, we're going to explain to the cattlemen how to be sustainable. Here you have Purdue University going to people like Dan Christensen, who've been raising dogs for 20 years, and say, we're going to tell you how you should treat these dogs and raise them properly. The people who didn't do it properly are gone. They're out of business.
Exactly. Under free market principles, if we were allowing free market to breathe and get out from under the chokehold mm-hmm. that's currently the climate today, yes, all the bad... The bad producers would just fall away because no one would buy their product.
I'm here to say, you know, everybody wants... I've even heard people in agriculture that are opposed to the term factory farm endorse the term puppy mill, not really recognizing what it is that they're doing. I'd be hard-pressed to believe that you could go find somebody who's breeding dogs today, whether they be purebred or not, that's doing it in an improper way.
I agree. Well, the sleight of hand magic trick that the animal rights people are pushing on the general public with the term puppy mill is that most people, the general public, thinks, oh, well, that means unscrupulous breeder that's, you know, raising dogs and swaller and standing in feces and, you know, never having clean water to drink or food to eat. No, no. To the animal rights movement, The term puppy mill means anyone who is breeding for profit is a puppy mill.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're vilifying anyone who is profiting from breeding animals, period. And that goes the same for animal agriculture, and people are falling for the propaganda.
Well, I mean, the group I love to hang with and announce as many shows or competitions as I possibly can, the stock dog, American stock dog competitors, National Cattle Dog Association, Border Collies USA, they may have three dogs, three females. They breed them and sell them. According to these whack jobs, they're puppy mills.
Mm-hmm.
With three dogs. They don't care. They do not want you to own the dog. That's the bottom line. People have
That's
to understand
right.
that.
Yep. We're in, everyone's falling for the terminology, hook, line, and sinker. And that's why I say we don't really have a PR problem, as Candace Crony says we do. We have an activist problem. And our side needs to quit bending to the will of the activists. We need to quit inviting them to the table. We need to quit listening to academics tell, you know, animal agriculture and the pet producers how to raise their animals. We need to stop. Draw a line in the sand. Because I was at a conference this past weekend where the Purdue study was presented by someone at Purdue University via Skype in a PowerPoint presentation. And looking at all the dog breeders in the room, not all, quite a few understand what's really afoot, but many are just wanting to stay in business. So they're willing to do whatever it takes to stay, quote unquote, in compliance. And meanwhile, the activists keep moving the goalpost. They'll just keep moving the goalpost. That's why I said earlier, you know, 5 years ago during the Prop B fight, you know, USDA standards were the best. And well, now today, 5 years later, that's not good enough. We've changed our minds. You don't think that's going to keep changing? They're just going to keep moving the goalpost until we're out of business. That's their goal. So everyone needs to wake up and quit trying to please these quote-unquote new standards and kowtowing to the activist agenda.
See, I feel compelled to continue to parallel it to food animal ownership, assuming that most people in the U.S. don't eat dogs, so food animal ownership. And we had the Beef Quality Assurance Program in place, which addressed every issue about food safety and animal handling that needed to be presented. We've had that in place for 30 years. Instead of utilizing that as the tool to answer these questions, we try to recreate the wheel, mostly because mm-hmm. there's people employed. We need consultants to make a living, telling producers how to be compliant. All of that wheel just causes more cost to the whole system. It's an unnecessary wasted cost. No different than I know for a fact. In fact, yesterday, Mindy, Dan Christensen on this program said, AKC, American Kennel Club, has an accreditation program. They certified him. And I assure you the same thing's happening, that there's a program in place that should address all of these issues. And instead of doing that, we're recreating the wheel, creating more advisors, more consultants, and more regulations to do one thing, put you out of business.
Right. Yep. More bureaucracy. And these bureaucrats are unelected officials. And this is how this forced transformation is happening in our country. You know, they're wanting to regulate the air, the soil, the water, our animals. Everything is just coming down hard on Americans in every aspect of our lives. And it's these unelected bureaucrats, as you just mentioned, that are putting the squeeze on all of us. And Americans need to just stand up and say no more. Elections have consequences. We've got a big one coming up in 2016, lots of big ones. And, you know, I hope people, if they're feeling the pinch and feeling uncomfortable, I hope they get out and vote. We can't afford for people not to go vote.
You were hanging with the dog breeders this past week. Do they have their belly full? Do they recognize that finally the status quo is not going to work?
I do. I think the dog breeders, especially in Missouri, you know, here in Missouri, the commercial dog breeders have just walked through fire. I mean, they have survived, and those who are still in business are the truly the cream of the crop. But they're also getting fed up with the continual push to increase regulations. And actually, Prop B regulations, the final phase is being implemented in January of 2016. And a lot of people who did not want to spend the money to modify their kennels to come in compliance with the 2016 regulations are just going to turn the light off and fold up in December. And there, I'm sure, will be quite a few. I don't know how many, but we'll know after the first of the year. But that's, how is that any different than what has happened to the pork industry and the egg industry and the coercion tactics that have taken place on all of these legitimate businesses and animal agriculture? I mean, do people not realize that the pet industry is the easy emotional gateway to get to the rest of animal agriculture in this method of regulatory reform, if you will? And
actually,
you know, the activists are behind it.
There's actually two avenues to get to the emotion of animal ownership, and you spend every day in both of them, dog and horse ownership.
Yes.
Because
amen.
You just can't seek thrills in other ways, Mindy? Or why is it that those are the two things you spend your time on?
Well, first of all, I own both. I've been a part of the horse community and horse industry for most of my life, and you know, that's what led me originally into the fight in 2007 when horse processing came under fire. And sadly, a lot of my dear friends have lost their livelihoods since the cessation of horse harvesting in the United States. And, you know, HSUS is creating these problems for all of these animal agriculture industries with no solution. And as you said earlier, they really don't care about the animals. They just want to put people out of business. But they're using this, the emotion, not science or fact, to nudge everyone into the belief that they need to be have more regulation to stay in compliance when the farthest thing could not be from the truth.
Mm-hmm. I've got a minute and a half. I don't know that I should ask you this, but I'm going to, and we can carry it on if we need to.
I'm bracing myself.
As a cavalry group, are on the front lines, and you tend to hear from people when they have their back against the wall. How many times do you hear from people that have similar situations to Dan Christensen?
Well, you know, the cavalry group was formed because of situations like Dan Christensen. And our mission is to intervene when the knock comes at the door. So when someone gets that, if someone is a member ahead of time, it's sort of like insurance, if you will. If they get the dreaded knock at the door and they come with, whether it's with warrant or without warrant, to seize animals, we intervene with our attorneys that we have on retainer to protect our members from illegal search, illegal seizure, and false claims of animal abuse. But unfortunately, we get calls every week, anywhere from 3 to 5 phone calls a week from people who have already had their animals illegally seized. And unfortunately, we're not a criminal defense law firm. We don't have the resources to defend those already in trouble. I wish we did. If we were able to find some sponsors, we might be in a better position down the road. But right now, we're about protecting our members and protecting them from illegal search, illegal seizure, and false claims of animal abuse.
Calvary Group. Mindy Patterson, my guest. We will take a break and come back and finish up our discussion today about what we should do as our right to own animals is eroding. More Rural Route after this.
Well, folks, when it comes to marketing cattle the superior way, you have choices. And the choice I promote and suggest that you follow, like I did, was the superior way. Find your rep. Determine who you want to deal with. Go to the website to get more information. Look now. We've got the first October video sale posted. That will happen on Dish Network Channel 232 on October the 9th. details about the cattle that are available for sale today and some industry news, along with some Oklahoma State fundraising information, is all posted on the website today, www.superiorlivestock.com.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce, Mindy Patterson. My guest, Wildwood, Missouri, is what she calls home. The Calvary Group is the mission to help all of us as animal owners. You did not give a web address, place that people can go to find you if they want to.
www.thecavalrygroup.com, and Cavalry Group is spelled C-A-V-A-L-R-Y, like the military infantry, not the church.
So you're not the cross?
No.
Okay. So did we cover everything about this Purdue study that bothers you? Is Purdue the only one from a scientific standpoint that is doing this? And I didn't hear you describe any science, by the way.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, the science is allegedly coming from the input from Temple Grandin, Bernie Rowland, James Turpel, and Candace Crony and her team at Purdue University. But again, all these people are academics. Have they raised dogs themselves? I know they're going through the motions of talking to a team of dog breeders, but, you know, supposedly they're going to be putting this to a test. The test, there are going to be sort of test kennels, if you will, that they're going to be trying these new standards. But I think all of this is a facade. And it is just, we don't have a crisis of animal welfare in the commercial dog breeding industry. We just don't. All of the propaganda that HSUS puts out there are lies. We have proof of that. They use pictures that are not representative of commercial dog breeders.
All right, so if this is Purdue's a land-grant university, a fine land-grant university, the intent should not be to gather a philosopher, a pseudo-animal scientist in Temple Grandin from Colorado State University, and an obvious animal rights enthusiast from the University of Pennsylvania, and have them come together and philosophize on what should or should not happen. A land-grant university, it conducts research on said animals in given environments and presents the results. That's how we determine what the science is behind minimizing stress in animals' lives, because that's what we're doing. We're talking about how can we minimize the stress. As you sat through this presentation last week, did they talk at all about here's what we're going to do in a control group, here's what we're going to do in terms of trying to improve or enrich? You know, the word today is enrich. We're going to put our chickens in enriched cages. Did they present any science?
The word enriched was mentioned many times, you know, and transparency was the other word. Transparency and enrichment. You know, they mentioned auditory enrichment.
What?
Well, what does that mean?
Auditory enrichment, what's that?
Yeah, auditory enrichment for dogs. Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess it means you're supposed to play music in the dog kennel.
That's part of their science behind improving the life of a dog in a kennel is playing music?
That's what they discussed. I taped the presentation and took screenshots of the slides. I'm happy to share, but that's what is shared. And so, you know, you parallel this to what they have been pushing in the Egg Products Inspection Act, pushed by HSUS, and the enriched cage systems. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about enriched systems for dog breeding kennels. You know, the other thing that's concerning, they want to make sure that dog breeders now have a program where they rehome, the rehoming of breeding stock. So they're going to be putting breeding stock into placement in families. These animals are private property of the dog breeder, and we're potentially going to be opening the door and allowing for someone else to tell you what you have to do with your property.
What are you talking about? Rehome the mother, the breeding stock. What's that mean?
Yeah. Well, I think we will eventually find out, but what they're wanting to do is tell the breeders that they no longer are allowed to do with... If an adult is at the end of their breeding adult life, mm-hmm. oftentimes dog breeders either just keep the dogs or perhaps they auction them out or they call the breeding stock. And they don't, the animal rights movement is very opposed to that, so they're wanting to make sure that if a dog is no longer being used as a breeding animal, they want to force the owners to rehome them.
This is possibly the most ridiculous thing I've heard yet.
Well, that's what's in the study. That's what was discussed at this presentation.
I fully recognize there's not a market for cull breeding dogs. But
can you imagine bringing that into your home?
I do not want the USDA telling me that I need to find an adoptive family. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. It is ridiculous. And again, we're allowing these people to tell animal owners what they can and cannot do.
Yeah. Well, that's the bottom line. Every step of the way is what I'm hearing is they're going to tell you how you're going to take care of your animals.
But the headline points that were discussed were things like housing, environment, socialization, a welfare matrix, disease prevention, public perception, and breeder practices. And then all those things were elaborated upon. Uh-huh. But again, these are private businesses. These are people who are already licensed either at the state level or by USDA under pretty stringent standards. But now Purdue is coming in and saying, you know, since we have a bit of a PR problem and commercial dog breeders are always under facing scrutiny and criticism, we need to come up with a plan that's going to stop all that. And that's what this is all about. They think that this is going to stop the criticism, they say, from the public, but the public is following the diatribe of the Humane Society of the United States and the activists. So again, we don't have a PR problem. We have an activist problem. And our side keeps kowtowing to the activist agenda. We need to stop.
Yeah. I think you said this earlier, but I'm repeating it. Dr. Candace Crony, Purdue University, said, and I quote, this is from the Purdue press release this week on Monday, all animal care policies must be grounded in science as well as ethics and social responsibility. What's the social responsibility in how I take care of my dogs?
Well, and then, you know, it's also stated in one of my notes as to what was said during the presentation. It says, all animal care policies must be grounded in science, as you just said, as well as ethics and social responsibility. But whose? Whose science? Whose ethics? Mm-hmm. Whose social responsibility?
Well, this says that they're working with volunteer dog breeders in a 2-year study. So what this says. So who's volunteering? Who would volunteer? I don't know.
Well,
this
you know,
is problematic. And it's no different. And I'm going to go back to New York because you mentioned NY class. You know, at the time that you have been leading the charge of the outside forces, not including the people in New York City, in fighting the carriage ban, there's been a parallel initiative, and it's got teeth, and it's getting through to all purebred dogs, all dogs sold through pet stores must be spayed and neutered. That's going into effect.
I know. Mandatory spay-neuter laws are being passed at the local level all across the country.
Not just in New York.
Correct. They just passed in Long Beach, California about 4 months ago. Unanimously with the city council board, along with they call it a pet sale ban, but really what it is a rescue sale mandate where it's forcing pet stores, telling them where they have to source their product, source their animals.
Mm-hmm. Does it say Mexico for sure? You have to source your pet from Mexico?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what's next? I mean, honestly, if people don't start looking at this from a perspective of the slippery slope, how far are we away from, you know, the government telling you how large of a soda you can buy?
Wait, that's already happened, Mindy.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait, that's already happening in New York and other parts of the country. Or the program where the school lunches are being hijacked and how much, you know, sugar and fat you can eat. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where we are. We've got to stop allowing government and all these non-governmental organizations telling people how to run their business. Time for people to stand up.
We have 2 minutes, and one area we have not addressed. Are there veterinarians, the true professionals in animal health, are they engaged in the process? Are they standing up, speaking out?
You know, that is a wonderful question, and one of the things I'm working on is gathering all of those veterinarians to either create a white paper or statements in support of commercial dog breeders. But you know what's sad? Is that oftentimes there is fear of retaliation.
Right. I'm reminded of my wonderful time spent with the Missouri Veterinarian Association last year in St. Louis when you stood me up mm-hmm. and didn't show up. But there's some context there that I believe I should follow up on and see where particularly AVMA is at on this issue. Not that I have a great degree of faith in AVMA, but I need to at least reach out.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's interesting that they don't seem to be in the room on this whole Purdue study. Mm-hmm. They're not listed anywhere in the organizations that have hung their hat on this Purdue study.
Well, Clark Fabian, the president, is from Missouri. He's president of AVMA and a small animal vet. So I think you know who my next phone calls to.
Keep me posted. That's wonderful.
Final thoughts, profound wisdom from Mindy Patterson is?
There's no animal welfare crisis. I know I've repeated this over and over, but we don't have a PR problem. We have an activist problem. You know, using bully tactics to override the media, who are willing accomplices, quite honestly, in their agenda to push animal producers out of business. And our side needs to take a stand and stop inviting the enemy to the table to collaborate to live another day. We need to take a stand for sovereignty, our way of life, and our American way of life and founding principles.
And don't forget that you said 300,000 dogs a year imported into the United States to meet the demand. Is that the right number?
That is the right number.
That'll do it. We have successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. As always, my thanks to Mindy Patterson, Calvary Group. I'm Trent Luce, reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route.
What role does nitric oxide play in your health? Well, let me just give you three things. Heart health, blood pressure, bone health. That's where it starts. And don't forget about mental health. All stems from the proper nitric oxide production in your body. And what I do to ensure that is Neo40.com. Order it online, Neo40.com, then put Trent in the coupon code, and you pay no shipping.